Now call this Board of Adjustment hearing back in session. Next case.
Case number 12789 FDPN Management LLC seeks a special use exception to operate a potentially hazardous use of a concrete crusher to support manufacturing and recycling associated with a concrete batching plant. Sections 115.110 and 115.111 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Sussex Highway, approximately 0.30 miles north of Cannon Road. The 911 address is 20354 Sussex Highway in Bridgeville. The zoning district is HI1. The tax parcel is District 131, Map 19, Parcel 5. We have 0 letters of support, 61 letters of opposition, 2 petitions in opposition, one with 426 signatures and one with 229 signatures, and 0 mail return.
And Mr. Chairman, before we begin, a couple things I wanted to point out. First off, this is one we don't usually get. This is a property zoned HI1, heavy industrial, but there is a provision of the code. It goes back to when the code was created in the early 1970s for potentially hazardous uses and requires that the board would not permit such building structures or uses until it's been shown that public health, safety, morals, and general welfare will be properly protected and that necessary safeguards will be provided for the protection of water areas and surrounding property and persons. The board, in reviewing the plans and statements, shall consult with other agencies created for the promotion of public health and safety and shall pay particular attention to the protection of the county and its waterways from the harmful effects of air and water pollution of any type. To that end, prior to this being heard, the staff submitted a memo to relevant agencies. We've done this in the past and the court has approved that list of agencies as acceptable. We did receive some comments back from them. They are in the packet. Though we did not receive responses from all the agencies, but we did receive some. This is a special use exception, but it also has that heightened standard, so you need to take that into consideration as you review the application. That being said, and this is for the benefit of the public here tonight, you all have been very quiet, and that's been much appreciated as we had our prior business. That said, I recognize there's a lot of people here. I don't know if you're here in support, in opposition, or just here to watch. Any of that's okay, and we will give you an opportunity to be heard. However, the board will note this, our rules, and you may have heard me note this previously, that unduly repetitive or irrelevant or provocative testimony, the board has a right to terminate that. It is okay if you've heard someone that says something that is similar to what you were going to testify to say, I agree with that, so that we can keep the things moving tonight. And again, that's folks in support or in opposition. I note that we have an attorney here who I've spoken with. He'll be allowed to go as well. We want to give everyone a fair chance to be heard. We appreciate your being as quiet as you can be. I understand, board members, we did hear from some of the members of the public here that they were having trouble hearing. So I've asked, pull your mics as close to you as you can, or when you speak, try to be close to them so that we can hear. And we ask that you all try to keep the noise down so that your neighbors here can hear that. And folks, when you are at the microphone, try to also speak into it clearly so that you can be heard. So with that said, Mr. Chairman, I know I've talked a lot, but I think we should probably get on with the show.
Okay. Is the applicant present? Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
State your name and address for the record.
Mike Ryman, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware.
Frank DeMundi, 432 Barrett's Chapel Road, Felton, Delaware.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I'd like to start off this evening. Usually I do this more on an informal basis, but because the information and data is so important on this application, I'm going to go ahead, if you don't mind, read my notes. I have copies of that for future reference if the board would like to have it. Staying alongside me is Mike Ryman, who's the chief engineer for Becker Morgan. He'll be doing more of the, what I consider the more informal section of our presentation, and I'll turn this over to him here very shortly. I am the owner of tax map number 131-19-5, which consists of approximately 5.7 acres of land zoned HI, otherwise known as heavy industrial. Let me just introduce Mike. So I believe some background information is important. I bought the 5.77 acres of heavy industrialized land back in 2008. It was the HI zoning that drew my attention to the purchase. The price of the property at that time was highly elevated due to its specific zoning. Heavy industrialized zone land is very rare in the county, and what I thought at the time was an excellent location right on top of the highway. At the time of my purchase of the land, the area was much more rural than it is today. In a lot of cases, HI zone land is found off of major traffic arteries, thus forcing industrial traffic onto local roads and bridges. This was not the case with the property I intended to purchase. County staff has confirmed that the zoning designation of HI was established on the property back in 1988. Over 35 years ago, and over 16 years before construction began on the development of Heritage Shores. The property at the time of our purchase also had a very rare junkyard permit. The junkyard permit has been maintained to this date and could be future use of the property. Because of my business background, my intention of buying the property was to take advantage of the heavy industrialized zoning and operate a heavy industrialized type business under the guidance of Sussex County codes and regulations. My background includes over 30 years in the third-generation construction supply business. I have extensive experience in recycling concrete activities. I've worked well in the past with both the state and the different counties to adhere to any and all mandated regulations concerning air and water discharge permits. This will be addressed more in our presentation. How did we get here? My company submitted an application back on 10-21-20 to the B of A to seek permission for a concrete recycling operation that would include limited recycling on site. At the time, we decided to pull our application to better address the concerns of the local community. Our goal being was to provide as much accurate information concerning our intended use for the property. Under the county guidelines, if a potential use is to be deemed potentially a hazardous use, the application was reviewed by staff and is sent out to TAC members for comments as soon as possible. I now welcome the opportunity this evening to hopefully clarify our intentions in regards to our application. In the past, I've been involved in numerous meetings such as this and have always felt that the facts and knowledge will be critical in your ability to make a sound, legal, and informed decision. However, this application has been a little different. My current tenant on the property has been harassed over the last couple weeks, and I personally have been contacted on both my personal cell phone and email. I received an email from the county containing letters asking for our application to be denied. I've read every one of those. I understand the anxiety, the commotion, and the emotion that an application like ours can generate. As in most cases like this, there has to be an underlying guidance that the board can and hopefully use to render a final decision. In my opinion, that guidance comes from Chapter 115 Zoning, Article 15, H1 Heavy Industrial District of the Sussex County Code Book. This is the same zoning code that has been quoted by some of the opposition letters. The general purpose section known as 115.09 specifically states that certain potentially hazardous industries are permitted after a public hearing and review to assure protection of the public interest and surrounding property and persons. More specifically, section 115.111 is labeled potential hazardous uses. For the record and for the benefit of the opposition, I would like to read a portion of the code to make a few comments. The code reads, the following uses of the manufacture, compounding, processing, packaging, or treatment of products not specifically listed above or below by may which, in the opinion of the director, have accompanying hazards such as fire, explosion, noise, vibration, dust, or the emission of smoke, odor, toxic gases, or other pollutants may, and the word may here is very important, if not conflict with any state, county, or law ordinance, be located in the H1 district after the location and the nature of such shall have been approved by the Board of Adjustment after a public hearing as provided in Article 27. The board shall review the plans to make sure that public health, safety, and general welfare will be properly protected and that necessary safeguards will be provided for the protection of water areas surrounding our property and persons. I know that's a lot to digest. The most important part of the code, in my opinion, is where it states that the board shall review the plans and statements and can permit such building structures or uses when it has been shown that the public health will be protected and that necessary safeguards will be provided for the protection of water and air to the surrounding property and persons. Tonight, we will demonstrate how exactly we plan to protect the general public, and most importantly, what industry-accepted standards we plan to put in place to meet not only our goals, but the goals and regulations set forth by the county and the state of Delaware. Our plan is to limit as much dust during the recycling operation, then put in the necessary safety precautions to contact any dust on site so that it does not leave the property. Equipment technology has dramatically changed over the last 10 years to meet the more stringent air, water, and noise restrictions put in place by the federal government and state authorities. As emotions hit a high, it is important to briefly clarify some misconceptions regarding our application. Our property has been zoned H1 since 1988. The property has already received county site plan approval for a concrete ready-mix production plant. The zoning designation provides for a variety of industrial operations, a majority which surprised many people in attendance. Our presentation will address this further. One use is allowed without any additional hearings is a heliport helistop, basically meaning that helicopters could fly in and out of the site with this corresponding noise and dust. The allowed permitted uses under H1 zoning code is very broad when it comes to industrial activity. Without trying to be argumentative, I respectfully ask how many surrounding neighbors, both commercial and residential, knew about our H1 zoning dating back to 1988 before they bought their property or house. We are not looking to permit an entire plant. We are looking for permission to operate a mobile concrete recycler during limited hours throughout the year. The recycler would be a very small 10% of the overall activity on the site as compared to the ready-mix operation. The equipment is considered to be very small in size when compared to other heavy industrialized machinery. The machine is low and very compact. In fact, it is transported by being pulled by a normal-sized tractor trailer on the highway and local roads. The machine is highly technical and meets all the necessary federal and state regulations. Number three, state regulations. The machine we plan to operate is highly technical and advanced when it comes to dust and noise suppression. Tonight's board approval is only the beginning in the process of getting the machine certified and approved for operation on the site. The machine will go through the state permitting process under the Division of Air and Waste Management. It will be certified and inspected by the state to meet all air quality standards. Silica, which I'm sure we'll hear a lot about tonight, and I certainly understand that. Reading the opposition letters, there's concern regarding the release of silica in the environment. The machinery is designed to prevent silica dust from drifting away while in operation. Drone footage, maps, and illustrations will be provided to help clarify and depict the actual distance between our recycling center and the commercial and residential areas near our property. Silica is a natural product that sometimes can even be found in some of the foods we eat each day. It can also be found in natural products that are used around a household like sand, stone, brick, and other materials. Silica can also be found in many products used in the construction of a home, like tile, quartz, granite countertops, and even drywall. More interesting is that lime powder that is used on the agricultural fields contains crystalline dust, silica dust. Lime, as we know it, commonly used in agriculture on the surrounding fields. As discussed, our machine is designed to keep the dust to a minimum, not only to protect adjacent property owners, but also employees working on the site. We also plan to use machines like the Dust Boss that is approved by OSHA that uses atomized water droplets to prevent any silica dust from leaving the site. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mike Ryman from the Becker Morgan Group. From the feedback we've received so far, I'm confident that our presentation will get overwhelmed by the opposition, if not by facts, but by sheer volume. All I ask is that before each member of the board votes that you've returned back to the zoning code itself and determine whether our team has met code number 115-111 and whether you feel we have shown under the H1 zoning that we will protect and put in place the best safeguards to protect the surrounding property and owners. I am not naive to think that we can or will be able to convince all the opposition that the procedures we plan to put in place will make our operation safe for all our employees on site and our surrounding neighbors. It's even highly possible, armed with all the facts and information, that some opposition would not be receptive to our plan at all. Our hope is that the information that we present to you, to the board tonight, is sufficient enough and proves that we do everything we can to meet the county codes and the strict federal and state of Delaware guidelines in regards to keeping the air as clean as possible. Mike?
Great. Thank you, Frank. And if you could go ahead and switch to the PowerPoint. Do I need to click it or can...
It's right behind the screen. There's a... On the back side. There's a...
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Frank. And I'll just go ahead and jump right into it here. Already introduced myself. You already met Frank. You know, we are here tonight to request approval and special use exception for the concrete recycling facility. As Frank had indicated, we are not here tonight to ask for approval of a concrete batch plant. That plan's already been approved. Those approved plans are on file at the Sussex County office, including all of the relevant agency approvals, such as DLDOT, Conservation District, which is DENREC, Fire Marshal, et cetera, Public Works, all the various agencies. Just to give you an idea of the overall lay of the land here, this is an aerial. You can see the subject property highlighted in yellow, and then you can see a half-mile ring and a one-mile radius, just to give you a sense of where this site sits relative to Heritage Shores, up to the top right there. And can I point on, I can use this, right? I'll just describe it. You got Route 13 in the middle, and you've got a number of commercial properties located along that corridor, and you can see the surrounding agricultural land as well. This is just a close-up of the property outlined in yellow. You can see the red dashed line. That is the Bridgeville town limits. You can see the adjacent junkyard, salvage yard operation. And then to the south, you can see what recently approved 7-Eleven convenience. The site is 5.65 acres. It does have an existing building. It was an auto salvage location. It does have access to Route 13. And like I said, the site was previously approved as an auto repair shop. And let's see if this works. Oh, there we go. So we did a drone photo. This is a drone that's taking off from our site. You can, and of course it wants to, oh, let me try that again. This is what happens when you do video. I'm not going to touch anything. There we go. All right. So the drone itself is taking off from the middle of our property. And this just to give you a kind of a bird's eye view. This is looking back to the north towards Heritage Shores. You can see the residential community there off in the distance. And you'll see in a minute a couple of homes on the north side there along the highway. Again, just to give you a sense of just how far this site is from the surrounding neighborhood. And then this just is a still shot of that same drone photo, and you can see the highway there. Again, a bird's eye view of this is the property to our south, the existing Bridgeville Auto Center and Salvage Yard directly adjacent to us. The zoning. To the north of us is county zone CR1 land. To our south is town of Bridgeville C1 land. And to our west is town of Bridgeville AIOZ land, agricultural industrial overlay zone. We did reach out to the town early on to confirm some of the zoning and adjacencies. I did read the town of Bridgeville's letter that's in the file in your packet where they had indicated some uses in zoning that they believe is in error. However, I do have documentation email from the town confirming that, and I'll provide that to Ms. Norwood for the record. This is accurate zoning. And just to point out, the agricultural industrial overlay zone, if you read the town of Bridgeville code, does talk about that the priority is towards agricultural use land, that is the preferred use of that zoned land, not a residential development. As Frank had indicated, there are a number of uses that are permitted by right The zoning code under the HI zoning district. This is a list of those particular uses: heliport, asbestos products, dredging bases, engine testing, oil shortening, concrete products, mixing, or batch plants, which we already have approved, sawmill, and many more. And these are uses that are permitted by right within the zoning code that would go through the planning and zoning for approval, would not be subject to a public hearing process. And the reason for that is this was zoned HI in 1988, as Mr. DeMundi had said, and these are the uses that are intended to be in that district. It was zoned for this back in 1988, and those were the uses that were contemplated for this particular property. As such, it should be expected that there will be some level of noise, dust, vibration, odor, etc. The baseline here is not zero. The baseline is that this is an industrial zone property, and activities such as noise and dust and vibration are expected to be in these particular zone property. And HI is a limited zoning in the county. If you look at the zoning map, very limited opportunities for HI zoning throughout the county. Much of the HI zoning is already occupied by existing manufacturing or uses as such. Special use exception is the criteria for this application, and I think it's important to point out that under that criteria, such exception will not substantially adversely affect the uses of adjacent and neighboring property, and that's important. And just to repeat that, we can have an adverse effect on the neighboring property. It cannot be substantial. That is the standard that we have to meet in addition to the other standards that were mentioned, and this application will comply with that standard, and we're going to talk about some of those safeguards as well as we go through the application. This is a copy of the approved site plan. This is of record already at Sussex County. You can see the location. We are maintaining the existing building that's on site. It has access to Route 13. It's already been approved by DLDOT. It is a right out, right in, and left in access only. There's not a left out access. The bulk of the batch plant is located towards the west portion of the facility, and there's a stormwater management facility located along Route 13. And again, this is just showing that same approved plan on top of the aerial, so you can see how it correlates with the surrounding properties in the salvage yard to our south. The location of the recycling operation is going to be located at that location there, so you understand where it's located on the site. Construction, demolition, debris recycling. There's a lot of benefits to recycling concrete. One of those is landfill use. Rather than concrete being dumped in a landfill, that material is reused in construction projects throughout the area. New landfills take a long time to accomplish. Obviously, those landfills are filling up, and this helps to mitigate some of that. In addition, truck traffic. You would rather have the material be able to be reused and in the location of where construction activity is happening versus large trucks traveling long distances on the highway to get from faraway places to move that material to the end location. There's a lot of construction activity, obviously, in Sussex County, and so there is certainly a need for a use like this. Aggregates reused on site, concrete mixing. It's going to reduce landfill waste. Recycled material as gravel reduces the need for additional mining. It's high grade. It can be used in DLDOT road-based projects. And it will also save a lot of water. By reusing concrete versus creating new concrete, you can save about 1,360 gallons of water per year. So this is a picture of the recycling equipment itself. So as you can see, as Frank had mentioned, this is it's a mobile unit. As he had indicated, it fits, you know, on a flatbed truck. This is not a large permanent piece of machinery. All of the concrete mixing happens internal. As Frank had indicated, These the technology has increased significantly over the years. All of the actual crushing and grinding activity happens internal to the facility or to the machine, and there are additional sprayers and dust control measures that help to mitigate the dust that would come out of it. So the idea is obvious, and that is to eliminate to mitigate noise, dust, and those elements from coming out of the machine itself. Also, this is not a 24/7, 365-day-a-year operation. This would be a limited operation. We would propose that be acceptable to a condition that limits the times and number of days, et cetera. The most we would ever expect to produce from this particular machine would be about 125,000 tons a year, which would be equate to about 71 days using 8-hour work days. So that would be extremely aggressive. We don't really think we would actually get to that number. But the point here is that this is not a full-time operation. It is a limited operation throughout the year. Silica, Frank has talked about that, and I'm not going to reiterate some of the things that Frank had already indicated in his testimony, other than to add that this project would go through DENREC's air quality. It would require an air quality permit. There is a process for that. This is sort of step one. Our stop here with you is sort of step one in that process, and that this project will comply with all DENREC requirements regarding air quality to ensure that any dust or emissions from the site are in compliance with their requirements.
And just before you move on, I just want to clarify while you're on that point. So that would, in order for you to operate this machinery on the site, you're going to have to get a DENREC permit.
Correct.
How often is that inspected, or you know, do they come out and take a look at that? Can you describe that permitting process?
Frank's probably better to speak to that.
Thank you.
Usually you would get is a construction permit from DENREC first, and then they would come out and do what they call an operation check on the machinery to make sure that it meets the guidelines that you originally said it would in your application. So there is an initial approval, and then there is follow-up inspections by DENREC.
And do they do that regularly thereafter, or is it just once you're up and running?
No, I don't know the answer 100%, but I would imagine it's probably on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Try to keep it quiet, please. Continue, sir.
There we go. Sorry, my clicker wasn't clicking. So we talked about dust suppression. As indicated on the conveyors themselves, there are water misting, to allow to keep the dust down. Again, this would be on the conveyor coming out. Again, the operation of the actual crushing is inside the machine. It's not exterior.
Inside the machine or inside a building?
Inside the machine, we're going to get to that. So in addition, we are going to employ what is called a dust boss on site. This is actually a particular piece of equipment that meets military grade specs for demolition, dust control, et cetera. So just throughout the site itself, in addition to the equipment that we are proposing on site. Noise is obviously always an issue. The chart on the right is for this particular unit in operation. You can see as you move further away from the operation, the noise decibels drop, which would be expected. And so you can see on the left-hand side, there's a chart that shows what the equivalent noise decibels would be for, you know, particular uses. So an air conditioner, 60 decibels, a conversation, 65, you know, all the way up to, you know, city traffic at 78 and chainsaw at 110 decibels. So that's just kind of the baseline. In looking at the location of this particular unit, and this would be if this unit was sitting outside, not within a structure, our nearest resident is actually across the highway from us at about 140 meters, which would be equivalent to about 60 decibels. Conversation is 65 decibels. That the noise on the highway is going to be louder than this machine is going to be at that particular location. I do want to talk about Mr. Sharp had mentioned a building. You know, we got some feedback and reading some of the documentation. Why not just put this thing in a building? You know, solve a lot of problems. Solve noise, dust, won't have to see it, hear it, etc. We've had a lot of conversations about that, and we're agreeable to that. Our client is agreeable to placing this particular unit inside an enclosed structure such that all the noise, dust would be further mitigated. All the information I presented to you tonight thus far has been if that particular unit was sitting outside, so the noise and all the dust control, et cetera. We are willing, and if the board so chooses, wants to place a condition on this application to place this particular equipment and have it work inside a building, we are agreeable to do that. General summary of our application, again, recycling is a good thing. Reusing materials is a good thing, especially in the construction industry. Limiting items that would otherwise be in landfills is a good thing. Not a 24/7 operation, limited throughout the year. Again, we are agreeable to this board placing a condition to limit the number of days by virtue of its approval. Our hours will be limited, 7 to 5 Monday to Saturday is our proposal. No recycling on Sunday. We will not exceed 75 days per year. That is our proposal for the limitation. As previously stated, we do not believe that this application will create a significant adverse impact as it relates to noise, dust, traffic, et cetera. Given the mitigating measures that we talked about with the dust control and also by placing the machinery inside a building. As stated numerous times, this property has been zoned this way since 1988. It's one of very, very few HI zoning properties in the county. It is where the county said they want to have these types of uses, all of which can, there are many of which that can be done on this site without any public input, without any concessions. And so we think that we have addressed some of those concerns. This project did go through the Technical Advisory Committee. They're all in your packet. A number of agencies responded to those. I don't think there were any negative concerns. Those agencies were DLDOT, DENREC, Fire, Public Works. I'm rattling them off, but they're in your packet. You have all of those. We talked about the building. And just a reminder that the standard is not, the baseline isn't zero, and the standard is that there can be zero adverse impact. The standard is that there can't be a significant adverse impact. That being said, I do believe taking the extra step of adding this facility and this operation inside an enclosed building will have a profound improvement on the overall application and significantly limit the impact on the surrounding properties. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
What kind of building?
You want to come and talk about that?
I think it would be a pole building. We talked originally maybe 7,500 to 10,000 square feet.
Thank you.
I've never heard of one of these pieces of equipment inside a building. Have you done this before?
I've never done it inside. I mean, I've talked to the manufacturer, is obviously is more concerned, get out, you know, in different states about dust and controlling dust. That's always been something that in talking to the manufacturer that more people are going to be able to gain approvals such as this.
Would the building be ventilated? How would that work?
Well, once again, I mean, the objective is the material, I mean, the machinery outside, like Mike was saying, it does the crushing internally, so that, and it's got a spray bar on it, which keeps the dust down, and then once it comes out the other end, it's got another spray bar. So realistically, even if it was outside, there shouldn't be that much dust. When it goes inside, it's the same condition. When it goes inside, we don't expect that much dust to be created anyways.
Well, just to piggyback on to answer your question about that, any building that would be designed to house this facility, it's got to meet all OSHA requirements for workplace compliance. So any filtration systems, MEP systems to filter any of that would have to be part of the design.
So are there already established criteria or procedures in place for doing a building run equipment like this?
I would say OSHA would be okay. Predominant.
You have a final site plan, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So if you were going to do a building, you would need to come back and get that changed?
We would need to add a building to the site plan, yes, yeah. To show that, sure.
Couple of things I saw. You have a final site plan with your wastewater up by the highway, and then we got a comment from somebody at DLDOT about that they don't like that it's so close to the highway. Did you want to mention anything about that?
I mean, sure. I saw the comment. It was a little bit of a surprise in that DLDOT already approved the stormwater and the entrance. And DLDOT reviews our stormwater as part of our entrance approval. So it meets their requirements. They have a setback requirement from the right-of-way, so it meets that. I presume maybe the reviewer didn't understand that.
What is your planned future development of the property that you own next door?
Right now we're going through conceptuals. More than likely it'll be a combination of either be warehouse, flex warehouse space, or it'll be a combination of flex warehouse space and mini storage.
Okay.
We did account for in our DLDOT application and the entrance plans so that there would only be one access point with a interconnection, not a separate access point. And we did account for warehousing and the traffic generation for that property.
I'm assuming that the batch plant is going to operate whether you have a crusher or not. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. How many other locations do you currently operate crushers?
Zero.
So this is your first one?
Not exactly. I sold my business back in 2001. So back then we owned multiple concrete locations where we did concrete crushing at multiple locations.
Okay. So in this situation, your equipment's going to be on site all the time. It's not going to be transferred back and forth between other sites.
No, that's the exact reason why it's mobile. It will go from, if we get a special job to go someplace else, it'll go someplace else. That's why we picked a specific piece of equipment. It's mobile. It goes on the back of a tractor trailer. It meets DLDOT transportation. It doesn't need any special, you know, heavy load requirements going up and down the highway. But it will leave the site, go to different sites, and come back.
Okay.
How much, I'm sorry, Mr.
No, go ahead.
How, if this concrete crusher was approved, I mean, you're going to have the batch plant there anyway. How much will this increase traffic on the highway?
Well, the majority of the crushing is how concrete plants operate. Is a lot of concrete comes back after construction, and then the producer sits and says, what do I do with the 20, 30 yards coming back? And usually what happens is it goes into small blocks. They either become what you see, retaining blocks that make like aggregate pits on farms and stuff, or they make them in small enough blocks that they can go into a crusher. So we recognize that. So majority of the material that will be going through the crusher will come from, that will be self-contained, that comes from concrete coming back from construction sites.
The majority people will still be hauling it to you, though.
Yeah, there will be. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a recycling center, so there will be. If there's a job that if there's a highway job has concrete patching and it comes out of the ground, it will probably come to our crusher, be recycled, be graded to DLDOT, and go back out to the DLDOT project.
Any idea how many trips that'll be? It's probably no way of telling.
I have no way of estimating.
Yeah, our traffic generation on the approved plan from DLDOT, actually the warehousing use to the north of us generated significantly more traffic. The total traffic that this entrance is approved for is 276 total trips.
A day?
Per day, yeah. Okay. And a trip is just, it's one's in, two is out, so. But that's the majority of that is actually the warehousing use, actually, to our north. The concrete's about 30 of that.
Mm-hmm. Have you gentlemen had an opportunity to read the town of Bridgeville's response to your plant?
I did.
Would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I did, and I mentioned part of my, and I gave Ms. Norwood an email exchange to that effect. They had indicated that the zoning wasn't correct on our map. I was a little bit surprised by that because we had an email exchange with the town in 2020 where we wanted to reach out and confirm some of the zoning and which properties were annexed, et cetera, and that email has been provided to the board. In that particular email, we asked what could be done in the agricultural industrial overlay zone. And we asked if residential could be constructed, and you'll see on the email that's attached that the statement was that no residential could be constructed. We then further said, well, wait a minute, the agricultural industrial overlay zone says that the base zoning district, so that it's an overlay zone. So there's a base zone, and then there's an overlay zone on top of it. And that is to, I presume, to promote the agricultural use for that area. And so then we went back and said, well, wait a minute, what about the base zoning? What's the base zoning? Because you can do anything that's permitted in the base zoning. The answer we got back was that the base zoning, when it was annexed, was C1, so commercial. So there was a comment made that there's plans to develop it as a residential property. And it's, I think there's some question as to whether or not that can be achieved in its current zoning condition. Regardless of that, whether or not that's some desire of our neighbor to the west or not, our property has been zoned HI well before that property was annexed since 1988.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Ryman, in your drone footage, did it was there any opportunity to take a picture across the street, across the highway?
I don't know if we.
You stopped at the highway.
I show it on the overall slide where I did the CERC, the noise. I don't know if it's further.
As you mentioned, the closest impact are the homes across the highway.
Correct, right there. So these homes touch the screen.
But your drone didn't take footage of across the highway?
No, it did not.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that area closer than Heritage Shores?
It is closer. We knew that many of the letters in opposition, the comments we were receiving were from Heritage Shores residents, so we did focus our effort there. We do show the neighboring properties on the screen here. Regardless of the fact that those are closer, I don't know that that changes our testimony regarding noise, dust, and what have you, based on all the provisions that we are now proposing to help mitigate those. I mean, this is showing a noise, for example, if this particular unit was operating outside a building, you know, that the noise at the homes that are the closest to us would be a conversation level noise, certainly less than the traffic noise, which is between us.
So this comes in on the back of a concrete truck, or what's left. Or I guess I presume if somebody took a concrete floor out, they could bring it to you or what have you. Where do you stockpile that, or how do you do that, or where will that be located?
Yeah, there's actually bins on the approved site plan there, if I can get back to it. One more. There we go. So you can see the bins on the west side. It's kind of like mulch type bins, but bigger.
So you load that with a backhoe or something like that?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much noise is involved with loading it and transporting it, and if you're going to take it to an enclosed building?
We haven't done a specific noise study with the loaders.
Well, the transportation out.
Other transportation on there. I mean, that activity is going to be happening on this location
anyway.
Regardless.
Mr. Sharp?
One of the things that you've mentioned is some of the agency approvals. I'd like to get a little better understanding of which agencies you would have to go to and which permits you would have to obtain before starting this particular use.
Yeah, a Denrec air quality permit would be required.
That's the one I believe Mr. DeMundi you were referring to.
That's correct. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that the only other one?
And I assume a county final site plan.
How about, you've mentioned there's a lot of water that is used in this operation. I think you testified there was a spray bar kind of at the beginning, and then there was a spray bar at the end. Is that right? So, as I guess, because we've had one of these come up before, and my rudimentary understanding of this is that concrete kind of gets put in, there's spray on it, it's internal, it gets broken up, it comes out the other end, it's sprayed as it's coming out. Then you would likely take it, scoop it up, take it to either the stockpiles or on the truck or wherever you're going to take it to, either inside the building or outside. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there an additional spray that happens and take, are you going to stockpile that in the building, or are you going to stockpile that where those bays are towards the rear?
It'll be stockpiled in the storage bins.
Outside?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Will they be sprayed again over there?
Well, once again, you want to be careful of putting too much water, because I know some of the complaints will start to talk about water runoff. One of the things when we put up that boss, that dust boss, is it's a new technology. It's atomizing water vapor droplets. I know it's getting technical, but instead of overpowering with like sprinkler heads and stuff, think of them as like ski cannons on ski mountains, where they actually they push out these real small water vapors. And the idea behind that is that these water vapors attack whatever dust is in the air and kind of grabs them without a whole gush of water, so that there's constantly water going on the ground, so you have one runoff. So the idea is to use these atomized water particles that kind of attaches the dust, makes the dust settle down without the water runoff.
Like some of the newer irrigation.
That's correct, yes, sir. Farms. Exactly.
So, with that, there is going to be water as part of this. What happens to that water after it's hit those particles? Where does that go?
I don't think that there's going to be a significant, what Frank is talking about, where the water is going to run off. It's going to be of such an amount that it's going to attach, and it's going to stay with the, that's the whole point.
Just
you don't want
to
have
dust inside
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. You don't.
So we're not having a DENREC wastewater permit or anything like that that's required as part of this process?
No.
And I know you mentioned that is the batch plant in operation right now, or is it
specialized? It is not. No.
And I think the documentation I saw was that the batch plant's 54 feet or so high. You're going to have trucks related to that on the site. Is that right?
That's correct.
The building, I think, Mr. Ryman, you testified that your site plan is going to have to be amended to put the building on, if this were to be approved. Is that going to be in approximately the same location as where it's shown on there?
Let me see, I had a slide that pointed.
I didn't know if that was going to involve a reconfiguration.
No, it would be in that southern location. It would be in the same general location as where the machinery is going to be located anyway.
Are there any natural barriers, vegetation, or anything on the site that would help with noise and dust or debris coming from the site?
There's some, obviously some woodland to the north. Of course, that's Mr. DeMundi's property for future warehousing. But we wouldn't, object to adding some additional landscaping across any of the boundaries of the property. We didn't add landscaping between us and the salvage yard to the south, but, We're amenable to that. That if that's something the board chooses, if it wants us to add additional landscaping, I'm sure Mr. DeMundi's good with that. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any additional questions at this time, but I may have some later, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. I do have one more, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes. Trying to understand that you said 276 trips in and out. Is that one in, two out?
No. So the way DelDOT looks at trips, they look at when a car enters any project, that's one. When that same car leaves, that's two.
Okay.
And they just add, they accumulate.
And I think that number was 276.
276 is what is on the approved DelDOT entrance plan. Just make sure I confirm that for you. Correct. I believe that's correct.
Okay. Now you run it. It's run currently as, what would you classify it as running as currently?
You mean how much traffic is generated today on the site?
I'm asking, is it just, it's not batching, it's just concrete processing?
Currently there's nothing on the site except for a business that's an auto repair business which is the office that you see on the plan now. Okay. So there is no concrete batch equipment on the plant right now, on the site right now.
Was there at some point?
There never was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was originally a junkyard.
Thank you.
You bet.
I have a couple more questions.
Sure.
The water from that you're going to be spraying or misting to control dust, will any of that make its way to your wastewater area or stormwater area or ditches or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, the site's designed that any runoff that's generated from the site would be collected in the stormwater facility.
Do you anticipate there being runoff from this operation?
Sure.
Okay. Is there any kind of government oversight of what happens once that enters your waste stormwater?
Yeah, I mean, the stormwater went through a review process through the Conservation District, which is a delegated agency of DENREC already, and we have their approval.
If enough water enters that area, where would it go after filling up?
There is a outfall discharge pipe that ties into the adjacent road drainage system on 13.
Okay. So theoretically, water that collects from your operation in that stormwater area could end up then in the drainage system?
Sure.
Okay. Do you have, like, is the perimeter of your property graded to collect that water and send it to the stormwater area?
Yeah, I mean, the intent is that the site is graded to drain to that location, yes.
So it should not drain back into that pond that's on the property behind you?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Sharp, I triggered a couple other questions. First, on the truck traffic, you had said 276 trips a day. But as I recall your testimony, that was for the warehouse and the concrete batch plant.
Right.
What would the additional truck traffic be related to this particular use? Do you have that information?
So I gotta print this stuff out bigger. Let's see here. So we have the light industrial at 276, the batch plant at about 26 to 30, roughly.
And that would include the concrete crushing that you're proposing here?
Yes, right.
I'm guessing the idea being you got a truck goes out, if he's got leftovers, truck comes back in anyhow, and he or she's bringing whatever their leftovers.
Right.
Then the other question I had was on the stormwater management approvals that you have, do they also look at this additional use here is something that has to be reconfigured as far as that permitting?
I mean, they looked at the use as a concrete batch plant facility. That's how it was processed through the Conservation District.
Okay, but if you were to obtain an approval for this particular use, because it is a different use than the concrete batch plant, then would you still have to give an additional approval?
I don't think we would. I actually don't think we would because of the impervious nature of the entire site, but we would be happy to.
Would you be required to notify them of that different use?
I don't think so, because of the what they look at in terms of the impervious nature of the site. But if, you know, this board wanted us to do that, we'd do it. You know, that's not an issue. I don't think it would change their review.
Well, you have a large coverage ratio on this, right? Because that's why the pond is so big.
But he's asking because of the addition of the crusher, the building.
Yeah, I guess my question is, you went to these agencies with the idea that we're using this for a concrete batch plant and your adjacent property for a warehouse. So you got a certain set of approvals from those agencies for those uses. Now you're asking to slightly, you know, to do this other use, which has a different approval through this board.
Right.
But I don't know if that triggers a different level of review for those other agencies.
Yeah, I don't think it would in this case, given the fact that this machine is going to be inside a building, which covered roof, and we've already identified the site as the amount of impervious that we have, and so the building is sitting in what is already considered impervious from a stormwater perspective. So I don't think it would, but, you know, happy to do that and document that accordingly. To answer your question, I don't think it would.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes. Thank you.
We're going to take a recess here. We'll start back at 8:20.